All right, on this Sunday morning, we bring in Bruce Jenkins. Bruce, good morning to you. How are you?
Doing well, Marty. How are you?
Very, very well. I'm looking forward to today. We've got a lot to talk about for yesterday, but heck, Elliot Ramos, the era begins, we hope. And a lot of buzz on Twitter and all around the ballpark. Brebbia goes on the bereavement list, but Ramos is up, batting sixth, playing left field today, according to Susan Slusser. And how about that? Last time, God, the buzz around a player being brought up, I think you got to go back to Posey.
Well, I don't know if you have to go back that far, only because, you know, people don't really know much about Ramos. They know he's been pretty good, but it's not like hearing about Lincecum or, you know, Will Clark or Posey. That sort of thing. You know, Joey Bart last year got an awful lot of play. I think people knew more about him and had expectations along those lines. But in any case, there's a tremendous buzz around this guy. And it's interesting to me that, you know, we know he's got power. He's got above average tools. They've even talked about him being able to play center field, and he's kept his weight down, which is an interesting thing for the future. But, you know, Kapler and Farhan think that he's a mature enough guy to start the first day in the bigs. You know, that's a big assignment as opposed to, you know, coming up, sitting in the dugout, learning some things around BP. But then again, you're not really playing. You know, they want this guy to be playing, so they're playing him in the bigs. I think it's great.
Yeah, and, you know, when you call up someone like this, and look, he was a first-round pick 2017, Bruce. That was 5 years ago. He was right out of high school. And he's 22 years old, 6'1", 188. I always say physically, he reminds me of Willie Mays. There's a compact part of his body that reminds me of Willie. But when you bring a kid like this up, you'd like him to be up and stay up and not be on the yo-yo back and forth. And that's the big thing for me. If you bring him up, you better have patience because this is not Hurricane Hazel who's going to walk in and hit, you know, 520. You know, right away.
Yeah, and then you never hear from him again in baseball.
No, yeah, he was gone after 57 Milwaukee Braves for Bruce and me. But, you know, you don't want him on the yo-yo. You'd like him up here to stay.
Yeah, and it's not like the outfield is packed with guys, you know, just really established guys who you'd hate to see take a seat. You wouldn't really hesitate, you know, you're not crushed over Duggar taking a seat or Ruff. Or even Yaz, you know, I mean, I don't think he's got talent to match all those guys. We know that going in. He's got the talent. And, you know, if he has an 0-for-7 or whatever, that's no reason to send him down. I wouldn't think. I think now that he's here, you got to give him a pretty long look.
Yeah, look, Willie Mays was 1-for-25. Not to compare him to Willie on that level, but you have to have patience with young players. And look, when they brought Posey up, you know, he caught. He didn't catch every day with Molina. Eventually, Molina got traded, but they switched off. I think pretty much, didn't they?
I remember looking that up. I think Posey. He did. He pretty much took over.
Did he?
Very soon. I'm not the first few days. I'd have to double check on that. But he established himself, you know, with amazing you know, alacrity back then. He was ready to go right away.
Yeah, you want to have alacrity. It's good.
Well, you do in anything.
Really. You need alacrity.
Putting on your pants, if you do it with alacrity, boy, I'll tell you, what a way to start the day.
When I wake up, that's what I say to myself. You have to have a day today with alacrity. Really. Well, we'll see what he does. You know, it's just an exciting part of baseball. It's what you live for. This is the hope of baseball, is you bring up the kid, and the kid turns out to be a superstar. This is the heart of baseball.
Yeah, it really is. And there's a story unfolding in a couple in the big leagues. Bobby Witt's kid for Kansas City. This guy, he's also named Bobby Witt. Really quick bat. He made a play yesterday that was just astounding. He's playing third. It's a guy on third. And it's just a rocket down the line, which he stabs. Great play in itself. And it was going to be a bang-bang play at the plate. He couldn't really set himself. He got one leg set, his front leg set, as he's falling down and throws a two-hopper that gets the guy at the plate. The Royals announcer's going, that could be the play of the year. And it really could. And, you know, Seattle's got a kid, Julio Rodriguez, their best prospect in the system. He comes up, much like Ramos is coming up. And he strikes out three times yesterday. They're all looking, what the heck's he doing? And but he winds up getting a double and scoring the tying run in a rally that wins the game for Seattle. So it's just a really good season already for these kids coming up and making an impression.
Yeah, there'll be more too. Hunter Green pitches today for Cincinnati. How about that?
Yeah. I think he was, when he first was drafted, he had potential as a two-way player. But
that's right.
He's considerable. He was a really good hitter. But, you know, he throws 100, so you kind of want to see him do a lot of pitching and play that out before you figure if he's going to do any hitting.
Well, he goes against the Braves today and Ian Anderson. That's one that, you know, it's another young player you want to watch. And the Braves have a ton of pitching like that.
Yeah, good stuff all around.
Yeah, very good. It's a good start to the season, like we said yesterday. Lockout, that's a long, long gone in the rearview mirror. One last thing about Ramos, Bruce. Last year at AA and AAA, 495 in at-bats. That's close to 500, obviously. 14 homers, 56 RBIs, 254 batting average, 323 on base, 417 slugging. So you got to be patient with this kid. He may not come up and just dominate right away. And he's going to face a tough pitcher today, too.
Yeah. You know, it's funny how the minor leagues are configured now. We've heard a lot more about, you know, Luciano, who's at Eugene right now, high A. And he's got some teammates there that are getting a lot of play also, Pomares and Matos. And sometimes the AAA roster gets a little bit discounted, at least in the headlines and all the hype. But, you know, that's where, you know, that's still the highest level of talent in the minor league. So, and he's done really well there. So they feel he's ready. And, you know, you have to trust. I think their judgment has really been good on players all across the system in terms of whether they can come up here and help the team.
Good. Well, I can't wait to see the game today. It's going to be good. Speaking of AAA, Genovese is catching down there, and I know they like him a lot. And Jelly is there, and he had a very, very good first start for the Rivercats.
Yeah, they really like his stuff. You know, Kyle Harrison's another guy. I think he's at Eugene, the pitcher they like. There are so many names. When you run down the prospects and people know what they're talking about, there's so many names that, you know, it's not just like three or four. There's like 10, 12 of these guys down there. And Jelly, definitely very intriguing guy. They've been talking about his stuff for years, so I wouldn't be surprised if he gets a look at some point.
Nope, I agree. I think he's going to be up here this year. What do you think of Rodon yesterday?
And
I mean, it brought back all the names. Come on, did you see the names that came up yesterday and comparing them?
Yeah, I mean, you go ahead and compare him to you know, just about anybody you like. I mean,
well, you Marichal, you know.
Yeah, said, I mean, come on.
You know, for a Giant to make a debut with 12 strikeouts.
Yeah.
You got a Buddy Black had 10 in 91. You have this Rodon, 12 now. Then you got to go back to Marichal in 1960 with 12 in his one hitter. And then you got to go back to Cliff Melton. In 1937.
He was good company. Well, I loved hanging out with that guy.
Yeah, Cliff. He's Bill Melton's brother, I think.
Okay. But, you know, I mean, with Marichal, when he came up, the hitters are going, good grief, this guy comes from all these different angles. He's got all these pitches. I have no idea what's going on. With Rodon, it's pretty much going to be a fastball or a slider. And they're both just all-world caliber. His fastball is, you know, it's usually when you hear about somebody's amazing pitch, it's like Gausman's splitter or Berrios' slider or, you know, Logan Webb's, you know, changeup or whatever it is. But you don't talk about an especially good fastball because everybody's throwing 98 to 100. But there's something about this guy's fastball, and everybody was talking about it yesterday. It just gets on the hitters so quick. It got on Joey Bart real quick on a ball that he could have caught that scored that run. It was a wild pitch, but it could have been caught. But he throws so hard, coming from a real quiet delivery. And then the slider is just ridiculous. I mean, if he gets that curveball down, it's really going to be crazy.
Yeah, I think Mike Kruko compared him to Robbie Ray. I thought that was a good comparison.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a big puzzle what's going to happen. I mean, although choosing from the fastball and the slider is plenty enough, you know, because the slider comes in at the first glance, you think maybe it's going to be a fastball. But what a great pickup. I mean, they knew this guy had exactly this kind of stuff. He threw a no-hitter last year. He was unhittable for long stretches. And if he's going to be that for the whole season, I tell you, it's going to be fun.
Yeah, 24 swings and misses. Just think about that in five innings.
That's radical. That is unbelievable.
You're talking about DeGrom, Snell, and Patrick Sandoval, others who have had 25 and 26. But, yeah good debut for him. He'll pitch, I guess, next against Cleveland next weekend. So I'm sure, he's seen them enough being with the White Sox. So good beginning yesterday. Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned Bart. There was a little bit too much action for the catcher yesterday. You know what I mean? He should be seen and not heard, so to speak,
Yeah.
He was involved in a few too many things for me.
Yeah, he was. And, everybody knows that he's really raw, and he's got the potential to be a big-time power hitter, maybe a 280 hitter with power, and to get it together behind the plate. There's been a lot of raves about him working with pitchers, which we didn't hear really at all last year. But yeah, the raw angle does still come out, and the Posey comparisons are always going to be there, which is really rough for anybody. And they do have Casale, I think, if things start to go off the rails a little bit from a defensive standpoint. But I think overall he's made a pretty good impression.
Yeah, good start for him. And in the ball that he hit with runners on, was a bullet.
Yeah.
He hit the shortstop, and it just, you get a little elevation on that, or you hit it in the hole, and it's a huge hit. So, but he wasn't overwhelmed at the plate. That's my point.
Right.
He held his own. His own. Well, today is one of those Rogers days. We've got Trevor Rogers here. We've got Tyler Rogers in the bullpen. And Taylor Rogers in San Diego, who already has two saves for the Padres. And I said, I want to get it out of my system now so I don't mess it up.
I'm not sure I could repeat that. But, yeah, that was a great pickup for Bob Melvin. I was reading early on that he was going to look at Emilio Pagan as his closer down in San Diego, who had been with the A's at one point and did some good stuff a couple years ago, but he flamed out last year, and that didn't work out at all on opening day. And all of a sudden they bring in Rogers' twin brother, the lefty throwing over the top, and he's really good. And that's a great thing for Melvin, and they're here tomorrow.
Yeah, if Melvin wants to take a look at Pagan now, he's got to look through a binoculars in Minnesota.
Yeah. Yeah, that didn't last long, did it?
No, that's where he went with Paddock in Minnesota. So, yeah, interesting. Yeah, the Padres are here tomorrow for three, and you and I touched on it yesterday. It's Manaea and Webb on Wednesday. How about that?
Yeah, Manaea. Speaking of Manaea and the A's and what they've lost, how about Chris Bassett? I mean, here's Manaea throwing those no-hit innings, and Bassett was just phenomenal for the Mets yesterday. Rave reviews, six shutout innings, three hits. But yeah, it's going to be fun to watch Manaea. He's got to be stoked. He's with a club that really wants to win. They've got the resources. They actually bring in players instead of dumping them. What a trip for an ex-A's player.
Boy,
but, good for him.
I'm glad you mentioned the Mets, because Alonso, that was his first career Grand Slam. How about that?
That's really, really surprising. That guy just lives to go deep. I was happy for him because he had a pretty good scare almost getting hit in the head, and that's been a wild series. Emotional, but he's ready for that stuff. I really like watching that guy play.
Did you watch any of the Dodger game last night?
Yeah, and
how about that ending? How about that?
Well, how about Connor Joe? Connor Joe, he gets a single to put the Rockies ahead in like the sixth. Now it's later in the game, and Trinan's out there trying to close it out. He strikes out the first two guys. The game's tied, and then Connor Joe takes him deep. That's basically the ball game. The game winning. I mean, come on.
3-2.
And of course Bellinger. It's almost unfair. I mean, he's had a terrible spring. Everybody knows he went like 0-for-1,000,000 against the Giants. He's having all his trouble with his swing. But even on a team that good, he's like the focus right now. What's wrong with Bellinger? They're going to have to send him down. They're going to have to put Kevin Pillar out there. And sure enough, he once again had a really bad day. So that's kind of an interesting story. And they didn't win the game, so they're 1-1.
Yeah, he's 0-for-8 with two strikeouts. So he hasn't struck out four times yet. So it's two strikeouts. But yeah, it's a big mystery. I've been saying that for a year. I'll say it again. He never should have gotten a hit in that fifth game. They threw the wrong pitch to him. But
yeah.
I want to say something about Connor Joe. Very nice kid, and he's battled through some medical issues the last couple of years. You know, and the Giants got him, and as far as, you know, first season there and, you know, first opening day, and Bochy was the manager, and he brought in Connor Joe and Reed, and all of a sudden they're in the starting lineup, and I could just imagine Bochy saying, who are these people?
Literally, and, yeah.
And, of course, he got a bad rap, and he didn't hit much, and then he was gone. But Farhan had seen him in the Dodger system and knew he could play. And here he is with the Rockies, and he can play. And it just didn't work out here. It was I think it was bad timing on Farhan's part to throw him into that lineup at that point.
Yeah, that was a bit of a misfire. I mean, they obviously rebounded with 107 wins, but he can really hit. I mean, he opened at the DH. And he can play in the field, but you watch him up there. He's totally confident, great swing, and, you know, certainly not daunted by the moment, facing a really good reliever in a, you know, right out of the gate. That's a good pickup for them. He's certainly off to a better start than Chris Bryant.
Yeah, I'm glad to see it. He's a good story. And
yeah.
I think he got a raw deal here. Unfortunately, it was bad timing for him.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
Bruce, I don't know if you saw that there was a perfect game in Japan. Did you see the story on this young man?
I just saw the headline. Don't know much about it.
Yeah, Roki Sasaki. He's 20 years old, and he was a high school phenom, which, you know, there it's a big deal with all the high school tournaments. Mm-hmm. He strikes out 19, 13 straight. He pitches a perfect game.
Jeez.
And he throws 100. And he has a devastating forkball, and he ends up throwing a perfect game yesterday. How about that?
Yeah, that's the next name on the radar.
Yep.
Seiya Suzuki looks real good in the Cubs uniform, very confident, got a stack fly and a key hit yesterday. He looks the part, and we'll see where that goes. Everybody's going to be watching that kid now, I know that.
They had on the internet last night on Twitter, they had someone posted a video of Stevenson, the catcher for the Reds, going through this catcher comp thing. And he was doing it, you know, publicly and showing how you press the buttons, and you could hear the voice.
Mm.
And it was very interesting. I don't know if you can find it on Twitter somewhere. But you hear high and outside, low and in, curveball.
Yeah.
I mean, you literally hear just exactly what they want him to do. And he pushes the buttons very quickly, and you can hear exactly what it is. This will work. This will eventually work.
Yeah, and it's like slider low and away, right? And fastball up and in. The pitch and the location are all there, and you figure it would have to be, you know, a voice and not like a number. Geez, I forgot what number 7 means. Is that a fastball or a changeup? You know, and you have to have it, you know, clear enough to where you know, there's a lot of guys coming up who don't speak great English, but, you know, they're sure as heck going to know high and away. And I think it's really interesting. I mean, you kind of recoil at the idea of it right away, but it's going to help the catcher's young catcher's rhythm with pitchers. It could help Joey Bart. I think he's already using it.
Mm-hmm.
The pace of the game should improve, and you know, you put that in with the pitch clock, which looks like it's going to come in next year, which cuts like 20 minutes off the time of a minor league game, and you finally have a real breakthrough in pace of game.
Yeah, Woe was saying, and I didn't get to it with him today, but at Sacramento, they do have the pitch clock, the bigger bases, and you can't throw over more than twice. The third time, you got to get the guy. And Woe says it does make a difference in the pace of the game.
Yeah. You know, Kruko told me an interesting thing about the bigger bases. It seems kind of comical, and I've heard comments, who would possibly think of this? But at first base, if you're a pitcher, you're going over to cover there, and it can be a bang-bang play with a guy steaming down the bag. You got to be careful where you put your foot. He's been stepped on, and a lot of pitchers have had trouble there. With, you know, an extra couple inches, you just catch the edge of that bag, and you can avoid an injury.
Boy, this is a good game today. Trevor Rogers, I'll get the right Rogers in here, and DeSclafani. And Bruce, DeSclafani was terrific last year for the Giants, 13-7. And I realize Alex Wood was very good as well, but I think DeSclafani for me was a tremendous pickup for them.
Yeah, it really was. And, it, you know, already, like right out of the gate, it looks like the Giants have two really good pitchers at the top. So it's not like he feels any pressure to be the stopper, to be the ace. But he could be just that good too. Next thing you know, you're looking at three guys, and it could wind up being five. So, interesting start for him for sure. But he's looked really good, and they just like him. They like his makeup. They like his stuff, and that was a real good pickup. And you're just glad it's not like Mr. Rogers pitching for the other guys.
He's managing for the other team. But you know how baseball works. Starting pitchers, it's important to have starters like the Giants have. And the Padres are doing it, and other teams are following suit. But you need your starting pitchers, but you need hitting because your starting pitcher goes only five or six. You got to give him a lead and let him hold the lead 4-1 and then turn it over to the bullpen because eventually the bullpens will decide the game. But the starting pitching for the Giants is so good. Now, if they could hit a little bit and give these guys a lead, I think then they got something.
Yeah, and, you know, with Ramos coming up, you just can't help but imagine him hitting a three-run bomb every few days, you know, or maybe even being more consistent, which is a lot to put on a guy. It's not a lineup with really anybody like that. And if he can be that guy, my goodness, what a boost.
Yeah, starting pitching is terrific. But you got to give him some support.
Sure.
And that's the thing, because the bullpens eventually, the parade will start with four or five relievers. We saw it yesterday. Hey, the lineup is out. How about this, Bruce? Now, lefty is going against the Giants today. Slater in right, Ruff at first, Crawford short, Flores the DH, Estrada at second, Ramos in left, Dubon in center, Luke Williams at third, and Casale catching. So this is the right-handed hitting lineup against a lefty. That's what we got today.
Yeah, they put together. You know, it doesn't sound too bad. I just had to think about this yesterday. Toronto, which they're a very loaded club, they're facing a right-handed pitcher. And their first seven hitters were Springer, Bichette, Vladdy Guerrero, Teoscar Hernandez, Gurriel, and Chapman for six, I guess. I mean, geez. And then when they took out Kevin Biggio when a lefty came in, they bring in another right-handed named Santiago Espinal, and he gets a double that wins the game. I mean, that's a real right-handed hitting lineup. But, you know, what we've got here is they're filling it out. You know, you don't have to throw in the odd lefty if you don't want. So that's and Ramos could make a difference. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, this is a classic Giants lineup today of the new Giants. Against a lefty, and this is what they did last year.
Yep.
Hey, Friday will be Jackie Robinson Day, and I just want to mention it. This year, the teams are going to wear 42, but it will all be in Dodger blue, the number 42. How about that?
Wow. Well, yeah, I like that. At first, you know, you kind of get used to it, but it is sort of odd everybody wearing the same number. But that really stands out and makes it quite clear, a little more clear what you're doing there. But that's a great tribute, and Lord knows it's so well deserved. I mean, it's great because little kids are going to watch the game, and they're all going to go, "What the heck? They're all wearing that same number. What's that?" And then you know, the parents tell them what it's about. And if they're really interested in the game, they'll look some things up. And my goodness, what a man this was!
Yeah, that's next Friday, and we'll cover it on Saturday when we're on Saturday.
Right.
A historical note today from 1979: J.R. Richard. And anytime you mention his name, there's going to be a story.
Yeah.
Major league record: 6 wild pitches on today's date. He strikes out 13. He beats the Dodgers 2-1. 6 wild pitches. How about that?
Yeah, that was tough on his catcher. You know who it was?
No.
Bruce Bochy.
Was it really? Oh,
yeah, he caught that game, and that was Bochy's second year, and he was getting a lot of starts with Alan Ashby, but his bat finally got to the point where they couldn't play him a whole lot. But it's so interesting. Everybody knows, you know, JR was like an unhittable pitcher, and that was his best year. He struck out 313 guys that year. Mm-hmm. He also led the league in wild pitches. He threw 19 wild pitches, but it's interesting. He was a little bit like Koufax. He didn't hit guys. He didn't knock guys down. He didn't need to. He didn't need to intimidate guys. J.R. Richard hit 17 guys in 10 years.
Wow,
that's unbelievable.
Wow,
I mean you've got pitchers who close in on that in 1 year. But so he was. You knew you weren't going to get hit. He might throw a few wild pitches, but that was great. Dusty got a hit off him that day. which it was cool. It was 2-1 complete game. Of course, he went all the way. He always went all the way. But
what a great story. Great story. Bruce Bochy. Wow. Next time I see him, I'm going to have to ask him about that one. That's a good
one. Yeah, he got a Bochy got a hit off Bert Hooten that day, by the way.
Okay, he'll remember that. Well, great to talk to you on this Sunday. And this is a game, really, maybe it's a monumental game. We'll see where the career goes. But Elliot Ramos in there today. I'm glad that we could talk about it, Bruce.
Oh, I know. Can't wait to see that. Every day
All
with
right.
this team.
All right. Talk to you next weekend. Have a good day.
Thanks, Marty.
All right. That is Bruce Jenkins. Always a pleasure. Sam Zeigner is coming up next. He wrote a book about the forgotten Miami Marlins, and I thought it would be good to get this on the show and just talk a little bit about the history of Miami baseball. So Sam Zeigner, he's the president of the Sabre chapter in South Florida, will join us next right here on the Sports Leader.